Welcome to episode 9 of Will I Ever Learn Chinese? I'm Jeanette Seikel, and in this episode, I'm going to talk about escape, the escape that language learning can give us, and the ways in which language learning can help us get through things that may seem impossible. As my Chinese was getting better, it started to take over an area in my brain that was, I guess, a bit sore. I had been so busy up until then. I was in a leadership role, and my job involved constant firefighting and also saving what was left of my faculty, because it was soon to be merged with a larger and much more powerful entity. At the same time, I was feeling very vulnerable in a role that was changing considerably. New structures had been established, and I did not like how my role was changing. I simply did not have my heart in it, embracing the change. At the same time, I was just so incredibly burned out. I could not see beyond the next step, just wanted my role to continue and to be safe at work, until the moment when I would be less stressed, would be sleeping properly, and would be able to plan my future. At that moment, though, I felt that none of those were possible. I was just existing, trying to make it through one day at a time. Chinese came into my life at this time and offered me an unexpected way out, almost like an exile into which I could retreat, away from reality. Rather than pondering my diminishing power at work, I focused on learning new things, getting absorbed in this strange world so far away from anything else in my life. At first, it felt like Chinese was my treasured secret, but very soon I wanted to shout from the rooftops about my newly found love for the language. I just couldn't help it. I wanted to hold back. Yet when I was called into one of the many restructure meetings I had to attend with the new leadership and with human resources present, I mentioned that I was now brushing up on my Chinese, which would help me when chairing boards and approval events with Chinese partners. This news was met with a polite nod of the head and a smile. I had a feeling that my colleagues thought me strange. Actually, I didn't mind. As I was sharing the news about my new language with friends, they were usually much more interested and supportive. They would tell me about their own experiences with language learning, and we would discuss how learning Chinese could be very useful for the future. Very few understood, though, why I was this obsessed with the language. While Chinese was taking over my world, I could not help but feel that my Chinese needed a lot of improvement. I was constantly striving for a higher level of proficiency. I was always feeling that I needed to learn more. It was almost as if Chinese became my outlet for dealing with all the uncertainties of the restructure. My brain was telling me that if only I would learn Chinese well enough, everything would be okay. This type of escapism, of course, can be dangerous, but it can also be incredibly powerful. It helped me redefine who I was and gave me a way out of a difficult situation I had no direct control over otherwise. My family and friends were around me, but they could only support me to a degree. Chinese, it seemed, was doing the lion's share of the work. The next program approval event with the same Chinese university came along, and I told some of my colleagues beforehand that should a student feel ill at ease again, like last time, I'd now be in a position to speak some Chinese to them. One of my very lovely colleagues subsequently introduced me to the students, saying that I spoke excellent Chinese and would help them should they have problems. While this made me happy, I was also feeling an acute sense of panic. Now I had to say something. I started out with a hesitant, "大家好." Everybody was smiling, but then followed with, "我会说一点中文." I can speak some Chinese. But then my mind went blank. The students were still smiling on screen. their eyes and mouth opening wide in surprise. Incidentally, actually, the student who had struggled with the technology at the previous panel was present. She had a very big grin on her face. But happy and overwhelmed, I had totally lost my ability to speak, and eventually I switched to slow English, saying that the English was probably better than my Chinese, but should there be any problems, we'd be able to work it out together. This was the first time I ever spoke Chinese with anyone. Up until this point, I had only ever spoken to myself. Phew, the reaction was great, but I was aware that somehow in my head my ability to speak was much better than in reality. There are numerous memes on the internet addressing this issue. I like one with a picture of an expertly and elaborately drawn Tyrannosaurus Rex, accompanied by the text, "The Chinese in my head," placed next to a picture of a very basic child's drawing of an unspecified creature with the title, "The Chinese I actually speak." This was very much how I felt. Some months later, I was sharing an approval event with another Chinese university, and I spoke a little bit of Chinese with the students. By the next session, their lecturers had all heard about this and were smiling a lot. At the end of the session, I wished them all a good weekend in Chinese, and they all clapped. These small successes felt great, yet I found it very difficult to marry my important director chairing an event hat with my learner with a very basic ability to express herself in the new language situation. It can often feel awkward to speak a new language. You're not yet very eloquent, not able to perform to the level that would be expected of someone holding an important role. Speaking babyish Chinese, I felt my authority was undermined, despite the very positive feedback I was getting from Chinese colleagues and students. I felt that I had to hold back considerably to come across as a professional. My reluctance to speak Chinese at first was based on my prior experiences. After studying at university in Germany for a few semesters, I had the opportunity to go on an academic exchange to Copenhagen in Denmark. I was thrilled because this gave me the opportunity to not only improve my Danish, but also to learn Kalaallisut, West Greenlandic, and to take courses in Old Norse, all of which I was very interested in. I moved there for the second semester, starting in February, as this was the time my very small grant would commence. Most of the other exchange students had been there since the autumn and already spoke much better Danish than me. I had learned a lot of Swedish at that stage, but had never really used the language in a natural setting. So, being confronted with Danish, which was pronounced very differently, I was really struggling. I spent most of my spare time learning Danish, however I could. I also tried to make friends with Danes, though initially most of my friends were foreigners, like me. Yet, we all tried to speak Danish together, which I guess helped in our learning of the language. I was studying Inuit studies, Eskimologi, as it's called in Danish. There's a tiny department offering introductory Kalaallisut language courses. These had also been running for half a year already, so again, I had a lot of catching up to do. I was additionally sitting in on a module about Inuit culture and society. I joined mainly out of a general interest. I wanted to learn more about the people whose language I was so fascinated with. There were other foreigners on the module, so I was not alone. Of course, again, their Danish was already much better than mine. During the first session, our lecturer told us that she expected us all to give a short presentation on a specific topic. She assigned me the topic "Informal Inuit Marriage Customs." I had to look up the Danish word for marriage in the dictionary after being given the topic. With some relief, though, I noticed that I still had 4 weeks' time to prepare my presentation. I started researching the topic with great enthusiasm. This was in 1994, where there was no internet to consult or AI to help me out. I had to read books, pretty much all of which were in Danish. I then had to write out a basic outline of my presentation in German and translate this into Danish, spending a lot of time looking through my dictionaries to find the appropriate wording. When it was my turn to give the presentation, I was quite nervous, but also felt well prepared. While I was speaking, I became more confident and thought that it was going okay. The lecturer, however, didn't think so. She was a very no-nonsense older lady who told me in no unclear terms that stop speaking such a baby language and give a proper presentation in proper Danish. I turned bright red, feeling utterly embarrassed. I thought I had been doing well. This was the only language I knew at the time, a few weeks into living in Denmark. Yes, it was maybe a bit babyish compared to the linguistic abilities of my colleagues, but it was the very best I could do at the time. This experience, while greatly embarrassing, taught me a few things. Some people are just mean without any empathy. Some people will have great difficulty understanding what it feels like to be an immigrant, exchange student, or someone who is only just learning the language. Yes, my Danish was pretty basic at the time, but half a year later, my Danish was already pretty fluent. I eventually went to visit this lecturer, together with some of the other former students, mainly to showcase how my proficiency had improved. I didn't feel like I owed her anything, but I wanted to show her that this baby had actually learned the language. I wished she had been more kind, though, because then I would have gotten much more out of the module. After my talk, I decided to give her module a miss. I had attended it merely out of interest, not because I needed to pass it for my exchange credit. I had enough other interesting things to spend my time on, not the least learning Danish and Kalaallisut, which were my key aims. This instance taught me to be greatly cautious in a professional setting, though. While before I was quite happily chatting away in languages I was only just learning, I soon became taciturn, trying to read my interlocutor's intentions to understand if they would be friendly. So speaking basic Chinese in a professional setting felt somewhat risky to me. I tried not to, or at least only use Chinese for emblematic purposes, such as wishing my interlocutors a great weekend. When do you stop being a beginner? When are you becoming an intermediate learner of a language? There is no clear-cut distinction, really. You could say you're an intermediate learner when you pass a certain language proficiency test. But what if, like me, you have no plan to take such a test? We could obviously also use the descriptors of different language testing bodies as a guide. For example, when being able to have a conversation about a standard topic or something one is interested in. Again, how someone would judge whether someone is an intermediate learner is also quite different from person to person. Someone may be really confident in certain situations and come across as much more fluent than is the case in reality. I felt the move from beginner to intermediate as a shift to a much deeper understanding. Having spoken my first Chinese in my work setting, I was feeling comfortable hearing Chinese around me and understanding the language spoken in different contexts. For example, I was on the bus in town when I realized that the two girls behind me were speaking in Mandarin. I started to listen. I picked up the main gist of their conversation, but did not fully understand everything they were saying. Walking along the road one day, two students were ahead of me pulling their suitcases when one of them stumbled. The other one asked, "Meishiba, are you okay?" And the first one responded, "Meishi, I'm okay." Ooh, I had understood. One evening, when again walking in town, I came across a group of Chinese students, and one of them excitedly told his friends, "Chege, chege, chege," while making a pointing gesture with his fingers. "This one, this one, this one." I assumed they must have been talking about what they were going to eat, possibly at the buffet place. I had understood, and I had even guessed the context in which the language was used. I suddenly felt much more like an insider. My learning style also seemed to change ever so subtly. I had still some of my gamified learning program to do, but I had finished the writing up, and I felt that I needed to revise what I had learned to date. I also really longed to understand rapidly spoken language. I was continuously hunting for new methods that would keep me motivated and teach me new things. I was also aware that I was able to speak much less in reality than what I thought I should be able to do, which was frustrating. And I had been learning the language very intensively so far, but very little to show for it. I was determined to change that. Onwards and upwards, and into the intermediate stages.